and welcome to the very first episode of the Touching Grass Pod. My name is Rosa, founder of Touching Grass, and your host. So today we're going back to the beginning, the birth of Gawkcore, the mothership, if you will. The reason I'm speaking to you today. If you don't know what Gawkcore is, because you might be a normal person and not chronically online, Gawkcore is a term that blends Gawp, which stands for good old raisins and peanuts, aka trail mix, so calorie-dense nibbles for those long hikes, and core, a suffix you'll commonly hear on TikTok, which is often used in fashion these days to describe a style that's essential or central to a particular aesthetic. Generally speaking, Gawkcore draws inspiration from outdoor and adventure wear, blending functionality with style, kind of like a hot geography teacher in tech wear. The term has been attributed to Jason Chen, who wrote an article for The Cut in 2017, where none other than ASAP Rocky was spotted wearing a Patagonia fleece. You'll probably know what image I'm talking about. It's orange. It's usually attached to every article, podcast, video, YouTube video, TikTok that talks about Gawkcore. If you cast your minds back to 2017, which was a whole 7 years ago now, how disgusting, the path was laid for Gawkcore. So Art Hose, Tyler Creator, Scumfuck Flower Boy, and the beginning of the soft boy epidemic. If you think about it, alternative pop culture had pivoted to a much more grounded, earthy vibe that counteracted majorly depressing and dystopian events. So Trump's election and the Brexit referendum in 2016. The elements of escapism that were present in the trend mirror the ones we see today in Gawkcore. Instead of skateboarding and thrasher and painting, we're foraging and going on walks in Salamence. In saying this, Gawkcore didn't just spring from the abyss, it's had its predecessors. So techwear was its mother micro-trend, which did eventually succumb to cheekiness, unfortunately. Drawing inspiration from streetwear and high-tech materials, techwear embraces futuristic designs with utilitarian features. Like many Gawkcore-branded items, techwear typically features water-resistant, moisture-wicking materials, many pockets, and sometimes integrated technology, such as near-field communication chips. As with Gawkcore, many people loved the interesting silhouettes and functionality that came with the trend, but the price point for such future-forward pieces was high. The mark for the death of a trend is widely disputed. I think there is one point we can all agree on, however. Once it's drop-shipped, it's done. Unfortunately, like so many trends, techwear-inspired garments started to be churned out by fast fashion retailers, dropshippers and e-commerce sites of the alley variety. Left with utility vests that have a stupid amount of pockets and M3 jackets with random, meaningless Japanese kanji plastered across them, techwear had officially fallen victim to fast fashion imitations, only vaguely honouring the innovation that came with the original pieces. RIP techwear, you would have loved Gawkcore. Fast forward a couple of years, Gawkcore's popularity really began to spike. Again, with another crisis occurring in 2020, which I don't need to tell you about, our caveman instincts kicked in and told us to run away into the forest. Being confined to our homes for the best part of a year allowed people to really appreciate the freedom to not have to be online all the time. People suddenly started to yearn for the hills. It's funny how history repeats itself. In the 1800s, it was William Wordsworth writing poems rejecting the Industrial Revolution. And today, it's youths wishing they'd been born in the pre-internet era just so they can get away from it all. It's also worth mentioning that for now, going outside is free. COVID saw massive financial insecurity for a lot of people, and going on walks and foraging for food is still one of the only things you can do without having to spend an extortionate amount of money. Gawkcore has successfully tapped into a broader cultural shift towards sustainability and mindfulness in this way. In a world dominated by fast fashion and mass consumption, we're encouraged to invest in high quality, long lasting pieces that are built to withstand the elements, or the walk to the pub on a Friday night. Plus, there's something undeniably nostalgic about Gawkcore. It harkens back to simpler times, evoking memories of unhinged school camping trips with instructors who should probably be on some sort of register. In a way, it's a rebellion against the rat race, a reminder to slow down, reconnect with nature, and appreciate the beauty of our surroundings. But what's truly fascinating about Gawkcore is its versatility. Whether you're actually going outside for a hike, or pretending that you are whilst glaring at anyone in a pair of dunks, Gawkcore allows us to seamlessly transition between outdoor activities and urban life without sacrificing style or comfort. In 2024, although some of the hype has died down, it's evident Gawkcore has some longevity to it. Now that we're beyond recency bias in that you still see people knocking about in waterproof shell jackets, anarchy to life, not just for Christmas, come on now. It's clear that it's ticked the boxes for a longer lasting trend. Obviously, the pieces are made for utility and to last, so longevity is a key benefit. It's also very familiar. Unlike techwear, which had these crazy silhouettes and required a certain degree of confidence to step out in every day, Gawkcore is a lot more toned down. You don't find yourself having to justify why you're wearing a Gore-Tex jacket, especially if you're in England where it pisses it down 9 months out of the year. It's easy to wear and can look really natural if you style it right, which is why for a lot of people getting into fashion, it became so popular. You're not making this massive arty statement, but you still look cool. The basic formula is essentially a waterproof jacket and baggy cargos, easy as. Whereas with aesthetics like techwear, to achieve the full effect, you have to double down and go all in. With Gawkcore, you can dip in and out. It's low maintenance. Colour is another element. Gawkcore has a lot of versatility in this sense. It looks good completely monochrome or grayscale, and also when you want to look like a packet of crayons. The choice is yours. As a lot of outdoor enthusiasts tend to like to be more noticeable for visibility purposes, unless you're a bird watcher, then never mind, you can also find a lot of accessories in more colourways than you can imagine, and it becomes very easy to mix and match. The last point is value. Whereas with a lot of typical Gore-Core items, they're built for extreme conditions and use fancy fabrics like Gore-Tex, providing extreme water resistance, brands like Arc'teryx also make significant strides in terms of circular fashion. They had an initiative, well, they still have an initiative, where if your garment is damaged due to wear and tear or needs reproofing, you can send it on and they'll fix it for you. They're made to last. These elements combined with their aesthetic versatility and user-friendly approach make it very easy to justify spending on. Looking at Gore-Core's holy grail brands, for the most part, they all have a well-established presence in the market and have stayed true to their beginnings. They're properly authentic, which is hard to say for a lot of mid-level brands who are constantly trying to keep up with today's accelerated trend cycle. Thank you, TikTok. The North Face, for example, whilst it's branched out into streetwear and even luxury fashion with their Gucci collab, they remain an outdoor-based apparel brand. That's not something they've ever strayed from. The same goes for Arc'teryx. They've always focused on high-performance gear for a very specific consumer. Part of Gore-Core's appeal is that it has its place outside of the trend cycle. When eventually the mainstream succumbs to the metaverse and we start walking around like the future humans of Wall-E and going outside isn't cool anymore, we will still have outdoorsy types. As long as there are mountains and hills and ski slopes and mums to put a ridiculous amount of sun cream on their children, there's a market for outdoors wear. Of course, like any fashion trend, Gore-Core isn't without its critics. Some argue that it's little more than a passing fad, a prolonged micro-trend and a superficial attempt to cult outdoor culture for the sake of aesthetics. Others worry that it promotes a privileged, exclusionary lifestyle, inaccessible to those who can't afford pricey outdoor gear or live in urban environments far removed from nature. And whilst of course these concerns are valid, there's something inherently democratic about Gore-Core. It's about embracing the outdoorsy lifestyle in whatever form that may take, whether it's hiking or navigating your local park. It's about finding joy and excitement in the everyday, no matter where life takes you, even if it's in the direction of a £4 flat white at a local climbing gym. The question posed is, how will Gore-Core evolve? Well, 2024 is seeing the emergence of quiet outdoors. Gore-Core's gone on a gap year and decided it's going to be more chill and grown up. Unfortunately, this hasn't gone down very well in the fashion community or the Gore-Core community. Similarly to the quiet luxury trend, quiet outdoors denounces authentic outdoor brands, so your Oakley, Patagonia, Columbia, etc. And it's now favouring the luxury labels who've gotten a bit embarrassed that they're not doing it as well as them. Hobbies that are supposed to be accessible, aka going on a walk, are undergoing gentrification. Sure, brands like Arc'teryx have never been cheap, but because of their durability, you could find secondhand products for fractional prices on eBay, Vinted, Depop, wherever. No one's getting a Prada shell on the sly, let me tell you that now. Alternatively, away from the behemoths of high-end fashion, smaller brands are focusing on garments designed for more of an urban functionality than extreme performance. Minimalist, sans logo designs are being produced to adapt to the fashion-y side of the trend, mirroring certain elements of quiet luxury without screaming, "I'm wealthy." Valence is a brand which is a good representation of this. They still focus on performance and utility with ample pockets and water-resistant tech, but they don't feature in-your-face logos in the way others have done. In fact, according to the Business of Fashion, Arc'teryx has invested into Valence as a means of catering to consumers looking for fashion-forward yet minimalist technical clothing. The issue with quiet outdoors is that it's very much representative of the trickle-down theory. Quiet outdoors has been put forward by the Business of Fashion, the big guys. Whilst they're only analysing a trend that has been happening around us, our obsession with micro-labelling everything makes the trend feel inauthentic. Naturally, big designers and companies have influence over what's popular. Of course they do. But today, the trickle-across effect has much more significance on what we wear. Authenticity is more important than ever. People aren't going to get excited over something a brand dealing in fashion data has put forward. We want style that is stemmed from community. It's similar to how a big music group puts an industry plant on TikTok and they kind of just flop. Nobody wants to see that anymore. We want real people. Quiet outdoors just feels wholly inauthentic, in that people who are actually interested in Gore-Core as a lifestyle would never suggest to make it about how expensive your clothes are. It just feels engineered. In saying this, diversifying the aesthetics of Gore-Core and potentially increasing its versatility for daily life situations could be seen as evolutionary. Instead of having items which are made for extreme situations and look like it, more sophisticated garments which still retain the element of performance makes Gore-Core more adaptable for the real world. Nobody's out and about all the time climbing Snowdonia, Ben Nevis. Let's be real. Where Gore-Core will go in the future is to be greatly anticipated, now that it's been about for a few years. I'm not sure technical, utilitarian clothing will leave the trend cycle for a while, especially as our tech landscape gets increasingly dystopian. If you have any thoughts, leave a post on Grassgram on our brand new website. I would love to hear what everyone thinks about Gore-Core as a trend. You can also leave any podcast suggestion ideas down there. We've got some really exciting guests coming up in the next few weeks, but let me know what you'd like to hear next. So, that brings us to the end of today's episode. I hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the world of Gore-Core, and maybe even feel inspired to embrace a bit of adventure in your own wardrobe. Thank you for tuning in, and keep your ears out for the next one. Thank you.